be awake. Good afternoon, church. That's much better. And a special good afternoon to all the children. After all, today is our day. Yes, it's Children's Day. Luke 18, verse 16 says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." I am honored to have the opportunity to stand before you as a messenger for Christ. Pastor Studdard, thank you for entrusting this monumental task to me. I certainly have big shoes to fill. Yep, they're pretty big. To Sister Balat, thank you for all your time and energy. Mom and Dad, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to help me prepare. I would like to dedicate this sermon to my aunt, T. Cheryl, who passed away last year. She was a woman of God who enjoyed serving others. She taught me the importance of service and what it truly means. Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Today I will be speaking to you on the topic, Stand Up and Serve. Do you know what it means to serve? Don't worry, it was mind-boggling to me at first, too. According to the Oxford Dictionary, it means to provide services for another person or organization. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to John 13, 3-9.
Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, and water began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well."
Jesus shows us the perfect example of service in this text when he washed his disciples' feet. After reading this text, three questions came to my mind. First, why should we serve? Matthew 25, verse 40 says, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." In the key text, Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, knelt down and washed his disciples' feet. This did not only symbolize service, but also shows humility. If Jesus, who is royalty, can do service, why, church family, do we believe we are too good to be of service to others? Matthew 25, verse 40 clearly states, when we do service for others, we are also serving God. Hallelujah. If this is the case, then our Christian duty is to serve, right? Right, church?
Yes.
Boys and girls, doing good for others is simply carrying out our Christian duties. If we want to be more like Jesus, then we have to find ways to help others. We have to find ways to stand up and serve. We all know the story of David. David was a boy when he fought Goliath. All the soldiers were afraid to fight Goliath because of his size, but David did not hesitate. He decided to fight Goliath. And we all know how that story ends. If David did not stand up and serve his people, no one knows how long Goliath would have been taunting the soldiers. Adults, were you ever called upon to serve and you refused? Or were you given the opportunity to be of service to someone else and you simply pretended that need was not there? Boys and girls, were you ever asked to do something in church and you were unwilling to carry out that duty? We should all be willing and ready to stand up and serve. When we serve others, we serve Jesus too.
Hallelujah.
I would like to share a story with you. Please turn your attention to the screen.
The Ant and the Dove. An ant went to the bank of a river to quench its thirst, and being carried away by the rush of the stream, was on the point of drowning. A dove sitting on a tree overhanging the water plucked a leaf and let it fall into the stream close to her. The ant climbed onto it and floated in safety to the bank. Shortly afterwards, a birdcatcher came and stood under the tree and laid his lime twigs for the dove, which sat in the branches. The ant, perceiving his design, stung him in the foot. In pain, the birdcatcher threw down the twigs, and the noise made the dove take wing. One good turn deserves another.
The moral of the story is service. Our kind deeds can have a positive impact on someone's life. This leads to my next question. How can we serve? 1 Peter 4 verse 10 states, as each has received a gift, used to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. As you should know by now, no one is exempted from serving. We all have gifts and can use them for service.
Yeah.
Boys and girls, do you know that the Adventure Club takes part in many activities that involve serving others?
Uh-huh.
Last Christmas, I, like most of you, was privileged to take part in a program where we invited children of incarcerated parents to our church.
Uh-huh.
We cuddled with them and told them all about our church.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great experience because I knew I was being helpful. Boys and girls, there are many other ways you can serve. You can be helpful in school, in your communities, and even at home.
Mm-hmm.
Parents, are you still awake?
Yeah.
Do you know that our church has many ministries that you too can serve in?
Yeah.
If you didn't know, that means you weren't paying attention when Pastor preached on spiritual gifts.
Hallelujah.
Maybe you cannot sing or preach, but that is not an excuse on why you cannot help others.
Yeah.
You can find a ministry that you can use your talent or your spiritual gifts for the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
I'm sure Pastor Studdard would agree that service is not only restricted to church, but we can be helpful wherever we go.
Hallelujah.
For example, you could provide groceries for someone in your community who is less fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
You could pray with someone who is sick, or you can offer to clean an elderly person's home.
Yeah.
We can all do something that can benefit someone else in need.
Hallelujah.
I would like to share this poem with you because it looks at the way that we can help others.
Mm-hmm.
It is called Helping Others.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever stop to help someone stuck beside the road? Or help a person carry bags to their car for them to load? These opportunities lend themselves to us most every day. Yet many times we turn our head and look away.
My Lord,
have you been in heavy traffic when cross traffic wants to turn?
Uh-huh.
They face you, blinker blinking,
uh-huh,
hoping kindness could they earn.
Mm-hmm.
Do you allow them to proceed and delay your forward travel?
My Lord.
Or do you look the other way and watch their nerves unravel?
My Lord.
All these things I've mentioned, though minimal or small, may seem insignificant, but they're really not at all.
Mm-hmm.
It matters if you could assist and you choose to just ignore it.
Mm.
For our kindness, God rewards us, if you care to just explore it. I'm not saying God is watching to see if you're polite. I'm saying we could be more helpful if we want to do what's right. We wouldn't lose a lot of time by rendering some aid. And who knows, down the road, kindness may be repaid. Have you held a door for someone exiting or entering a store? Or do you hurry in yourself thinking, it's not really your chore? Have you ever been in a checkout lane with 40 items in your cart? And the little lady just behind you with 2 items and a slow start? Do you let them go before you? After all, what's the big deal? You might lose a whole 5 minutes. Think how great you're gonna feel. We should show a little kindness, even if it's not deserved. When you think of it, my friend, it's not them that's being served. My final question, does service have an age restriction? Can you be too young or too old to serve? No one is too young or too old to serve. Do you remember David and Goliath? The Bible says David was just a boy when he fought Goliath. No one knew David's exact age, but 1 Samuel 17, verse 33 states, and Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." David did not let his age deter him. He stood up and fought Goliath because he knew Jesus was on his side and he would be able to conquer the giant in his name.
Hallelujah.
David was able to defeat the giant not on his own strength, but God helped him win the battle.
Hallelujah.
Boys and girls, you see, we are not too young to serve.
Yeah.
All God wants is for us to be willing.
Hallelujah.
To stand up and serve, and he will do the rest.
Hallelujah.
Parents, you too are not excluded. Some of you believe that you are too old to serve, and use your aches and pains and being too tired as an excuse. But I'm here to tell you, Moses served in his old age. Exodus 7 verse 7 states, Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. God gave them the strength to do their assigned task. He is the same God. Don't you think he can do the same for you? All we need to be is willing. We are all woven together in the great webs of humanity. And whatever we can do to benefit and uplift others will reflect in blessing upon ourselves.
Hallelujah.
From Ellen G. White, Patriarchs and Prophets. Church family, now that you know what it means to serve, will you stand up and serve? Will you stand up and serve? Will you stand up and serve? You see, I may be pint-sized, but God can certainly use me to do extraordinary things for him, just like he did for David. I'm committed to serving others. Mark 10, verse 45 states, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom to many."
Yeah.
Boys and girls, will you join me and make a commitment to serve?
Yeah.
As you go through this week, church family, please remember to find ways to stand up and serve. So when Jesus comes, we can all hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servants."
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Good job, all.
Thanks. Good day, church.
Good day,
church.
Good day.
God is good and all the time.
I would like to join with my vibrant, dynamic co-preacher, Aubrey, in thanking Sister Valencia and the Children's Ministry Department for choosing me for this awesome privilege. I feel so honored. Pastor Stoddard, I would also like to thank you for giving up your pulpit. And as Aubrey mentioned, we do have some big shoes to fill, size 11s to be exact. So folks, if you hear something knocking, don't worry, no, it's my knees. Dad, thank you for working with me patiently on my sermon. On the other hand, Mom, a big thank you for being my toughest critic and being a bit impatient. It helped me catch myself quickly. Today, God has given me the topic of stepping out in faith to share with you. Let us pray. Dear God, be with my mouth and my speaking, with our ears and our listening, and our minds and our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. One day, a farmer went into his banker and told him that he had some good news and some bad news to share. First, give me the bad news, the banker said. Well, said the farmer, I can't make my mortgage payments, and that crop loan I've taken out for the past 10 years, I can't pay it off either. Not only that, I won't be able to pay those couple of hundred thousands I still have outstanding on my tractors and other equipment. Silence prevailed for a minute, and then the banker asked, what's the good news? The farmer replied with a smile, the good news is that I'm gonna keep on doing business with you. Elijah also had a good news, bad news situation. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 through 16, we see God sending Elijah to a safe place, a distant creek called Cherith. Cherith in Greek means cut off, and indeed Elijah was cut off. Elijah was so far removed from the mainstream in life that in order to survive, ravens airlifted bread and meat twice daily for him to eat. At first, I couldn't wrap my mind around this. It still amazes me when I picture it. Kids, can you imagine birds bringing food for you to eat? And Elijah also had fresh water to drink from the creek. Elijah was at Cherith Stream, which is the east of Jordan, for about a year. But then came some bad news. There was a lack of rainfall, which resulted in a drought. It was so serious that the ground fresh water supplies began to dry up. First, the good news is that you get to leave Cherith, Elijah. Church, at this point, I imagine that Elijah was probably excited because he would get to see people again and he wouldn't be cut off. However, God had another good news, bad news situation for the prophet Elijah. The bad news is that I'm sending you to Zarephath, right into the heart and soul of Baalism and idolatry. First, let's locate the city of Zarephath on the Mediterranean coast. It was 14 miles north of Tyre. Come on, stay with me, church. And 8 miles south of Sidon, at the center of the Phoenician heartland. All this information, my dad could have just simply said, son, it's now modern-day Lebanon. The Phoenicians were descendants of the people of Canaan, where Baal worship was uplifted during the time of Elijah. Here, Elijah was encouraged to step out from Cherith right into the face of uncertainty and danger. This is stepping out in faith. There was famine in the entire region, and God directed Elijah to journey on to Zarephath, where there would be a widow to supply food. It's amazing, friends, how God chose this particular widow of Zarephath that was a single parent with a son and barely had any flour and oil to make bread. Let's examine Luke chapter 4, verses 24 through 27. Then he said, assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But none of them was Elijah sent except Zarephath, a region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And men and man lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman of Syria. Here, Jesus speaks about the existence of many widows in Israel during Elijah's time of famine. Yet God chose the region of Zarephath and this particular widow to provide food for Elijah. God reached out to the Gentiles, who are more accepting of the gospel, whereas Israel rejected Jesus and the gospel. Now, if I were looking for a widow to feed me, I would choose Christy Ruth Walton, born on February 8, 1949, widow of John Walton, who is one of the sons of Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart. She resides at Jackson, Wyoming, and has one son, Lucas. Her net worth is over $39.9 billion. Kids, that's billion with a capital B. She is listed as the 9th richest person in the world. Honestly, I wouldn't mind at all being fed by her. But Elijah's next stop was not Jackson, Wyoming Church. His next stop was Zarephath. And the widow in Zarephath was no heiress of a Walmart fortune. This widow was totally penniless, baroque with a lowercase b. However, remember that Elijah had lived for some time on bread and meat delivered twice a day by some ravens. So Elijah discovered that he could trust God to both lead him and feed him. Friends, I stopped by here to let you know you can trust my God. Children, we can trust him to bring back our memory, what we've studied for our exams. We can trust him to keep his promises. He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He promised that he will come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we will be also. We can trust him. Saints of the living God, from Elijah the prophet, we can conclude that learning to trust God in the past means trusting God in the future. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to say amen. Yes, let's observe the handiwork of God in his messenger Elijah and in the faith of the humble widow. God provided this widow with a lesson on faith. And out of her faith, he created a catering service. Through Elijah, God was teaching this widow to walk in faith by sacrificing and giving whatever she stored up in her kitchen. When Elijah ordered bread and water, and that he presumptuously be fed first before she and her son, one wonders how such a small food source could stretch to feed her and her starving son. The widow did as she was told, and the bin of flour and jar of oil did not run out. Hallelujah. The widow took her first step of faith, and there was enough food for her family. Yeah. Spirit of Prophecy states, no greater test of faith than this could have been required. The widow had hitherto treated all strangers with kindness and liberality, now giving no thought to the suffering that might result to herself and child. But trusting in the God of Israel to supply her needs, she met the supreme test of hospitality by doing according to the saying of Elijah. Hallelujah. Taken from Review and Herald, August 28, 1913. That's all right. Friends, there was once a good woman who was well known among her circle for her simple faith and great calmness in the midst of many trials. Another woman living a distance, hearing of her, said, I must go and see that woman and learn the secret of her calm, happy life. She went and approached the woman and asked, are you the woman with the great faith? No, was the answer. I'm not the woman with the great faith, but I am the woman with the little faith in the great God. Somebody ought to say amen in this place today. God provides for his children. He does so all the time. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So we can trust him and step out in faith. When the Israelites were dying of thirst, God had Moses hit a rock, and water literally gushed from the rock. When the people were hungry, God sent quail for me and covered the ground every day with manna and told them to go out and gather whatever they could eat that day. When Jesus told disciples to cast their nets on the other side of the boat, their catch was so huge, the wave of the fish began to tear their nets. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus took 7 loaves of bread and a few fish and broke them into pieces, and broke them into pieces, and broke them into pieces, until all 4,000 men, plus women and children, had eaten as much as they wanted. After which, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftovers. My God can supply all your needs. The psalmist says, I was once young, but now I'm older, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seeds forced to beg bread. The widow Zarephath placed her faith in the great God, who supplied all her needs according to the riches in glory. Children, youth, church, putting our faith in God means taking the next step. Kids, the next step can be learning all your memory verses for 13 Sabbaths. Next steps can be changing those C's and B's to A's. Next steps can be telling the truth at all times and shaming the devil. Next steps may mean cleaning up even when you didn't even mess up. Next steps may mean less Xbox and more B-I-B-L-E. Adults, don't feel left out. Next steps can be about overcoming addictions, whatever addiction there might be. Next steps can be about learning to adapt to changes in life. Next steps can be about developing relationships, especially a strong relationship with God. Next steps can be about being faithful to God and tithing and offerings. Next steps can be about changing your financial circumstances. Next steps can be about bringing about your healing. Next steps may mean obedience to the will of God. Someone ought to give God a praise in his place today. Someone today may be saying to God, I have never seen you provide for me. God says to you, you have never trusted me. Church members, the fog may seem thick, but the sun will surely pierce through and brighten up the sky. Allow yourself to continue to rest on the wings of God's love and watch yourself learn to soar high. Trust him every day to protect you, to provide for you, and to bless you. Saints, keep trusting, keep believing, and keep praying. God will make a way. Just step out in faith.
Oh, somebody ought to say amen. I'm standing on higher ground. Woo! We got some preachers in this church. We got some preachers in this church. A mighty woman of God and a mighty man of God. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise God. My goodness. You all bless my spirit. You all bless my spirit today. And I've got to say, you don't know, Aubrey has been sick for the past 24 hours. I understand she just was, the allergies and all of that. Didn't go to bed till 5 o'clock this morning or something like that. And she's here, no excuses, preaching the word of God. Giving God everything she's got. I couldn't be more proud than I am today of these children. You all did a wonderful job. Oh, and you did a marvelous job. Aubrey, you did a wonderful job. May God bless you all. What a marvelous example. This is an example of what happens when we take time to pray with our children, to train our children, to prepare our children to stand in the gap and speak a word for the Lord. With such an army of youth rightly trained, quickly the work would be finished. Second coming of Christ would be hastened. Souls will be saved. Jesus will come to take his loved ones home. I've got to make an appeal today. All of us actually should be standing on our feet if you intend to trust God just a little bit more. If your prayer is, Lord, teach me to trust you a little bit more, all of us should be standing on our feet. You want to learn to trust him? Depend on him. Call upon him. Seek his face in the time of trouble. Look to him when you're overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. Stand up and serve. No excuses. Do what the Lord has called us to do. No excuses. Now, the call for you is to receive Christ as your Savior. Somebody under the sound of my voice who, when you walked in this place today, you were not a follower. You had not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Or maybe you were kind of iffy in your relationship. Maybe you were kind of serving, but not all the way. But after hearing these children bring the word of the Lord today, you want to stand up and serve. You want to trust God to give you everything that you need in order that you might serve him better. You want to put your hand in the hand of the man that stills the water. You want to trust God every step of the way. The doors of the church are open. If you want to receive Christ as your Savior, you want to trust him, to put your cares in his hand. You want to look to him as your Savior, as your Lord. You want to give him your life. You want to give him your heart. You want to make a surrender to him. Wherever you are right now, just raise your hand and say, me, Pastor. I'm there, Pastor. Just raise your hand right now. You want to give the Lord your life today. You want to commit your ways to Christ. I see you, young man. I see you, young fella. Young boy right here giving his life to Jesus. Come up here, young man. Come up here. Come up here. All the children are coming. The children want to give their lives to Jesus. Jesus says, let them come. I'm looking for somebody else who wants to come. The children are leading. Are you going to follow? Thank God for the children who are leading. Children are saying, Pastor, I want to follow Jesus. I want to give him my life today. God bless you, boys and girls. Is there a grown-up who wants to follow the children? God bless you. Come on. God bless you. Praise God, Pops. God bless you. Oh, I just want to thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, I just want to thank you, Lord. Oh, I just want to thank you, Lord. Oh, he's been so good. He's been so good. The Lord has been so good. Oh, he's been so good. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you have been so good. Ooh, I just want to thank you. Jesus says that except we be humble and become as little children, we shall not enter into the kingdom. It takes this kind of spirit, willingness to follow, willingness to surrender, willingness to be led. Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to let God lead you? The children have already paved the path. Will you take a stand on the Lord's side? This is your day. This is your moment. Who is going to come next? I'm looking for you, my brother, my sister. Take a stand on the Lord's side. Open up your heart and let Jesus in. To become childlike. To say, okay, God, I take a stand on your side. I surrender my life to you. We're going to do this one more time. We're going to sing one more time. Give you a chance to come. Come take my hand and give the Lord your heart. Come on. Thank you, Lord. He saved my soul. Here we go. Save my soul. Oh, he saved my soul. Jesus, you saved my soul. Oh, Lord, you saved my soul. I just want to thank you, Lord. Oh God, we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory today for speaking through these powerful voices, these voices of our children. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you had your way in this place. Thank you, God, that you were lifted up such a degree that these children have come down front to say, we heard you, Jesus. We want you, Jesus. We follow you, Jesus. We're committing to you, Jesus. I pray, God, for their eternal salvation today. I pray that their hearts will be fixed, that their minds will be made up to serve the Lord. Bless them, Heavenly Father. Bless these children, that no matter what the devil does, he will never be able to snatch them out of your hand. We give you glory and praise and honor for the testimony and the witness today of these vessels. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everybody say amen and amen. Boys and girls, before you move, this is what I want you to do. You see that man right there? He's going to be standing down front after baptism.